a leader, one of the things that I appreciate when I'm working with a leader is that they do give me feedback, as you said, and they're willing to give it in a way that they're not worried how I'm going to respond to it. They basically call me on whatever it is that's going on, but they do it in a friendly way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can happen to the company, can happen also to a particular organization, right? So if you're in charge of your own group, that, you know, be open to that kind of feedback. Set up a, is there a step way to say, here's how I'd like to get feedback?
Well, I think as a leader, a real smart thing to do is schedule opportunities for people to give. A format that I use is both in writing and email and sometimes on conference calls. Okay, what's working and what's not working? I want to hear both.
Right.
And I want everybody to hear it. So what's working? Let's talk about what's working. Well, this is working and that's working. Okay, what's not working? This isn't working. That's not working. Was it because it's not being implemented or executed the way we intended it for it to? Or as the company, it's not being done right? Whatever. Let's find the resolution for it and let's fix it. And the only thing that I think any leader would ask in terms of feedback is just give us the facts, just give us your observations, and let's leave the personal attacks and blame out of it. And as a leader taking the feedback, the absolute last thing you ever want to do is be defensive. Mm-hmm. That'll shut it down quicker than anything else. If you say, okay, this is a time to give me negative feedback, and you know, somebody says, well, I don't like the conference call, and you start arguing with them. I mean, you're probably not going to ever get any good negative feedback again, because that shuts people down. So as a leader, you just need to listen for the feedback and listen for possibilities. And that doesn't mean you have to agree, but, you know, maybe the best policy is take it all in and sleep on it for about a week, mm-hmm. and then see what kind of response you have.
As the owner of a network marketing company, talk a little bit about, and I don't even have to ask if you see this because I'm sure you've seen this, is that you get feedback, but it's been enhanced so that it could, you know, so it'll be given attention to. So if, for example, the product tasted like chlorine, they're going to say it tastes like chlorine and it killed my dog, right? I mean, there's just this enhancement, and there is, I think the leaders understand that the way that they act, the way that they give feedback is in the best interest of the company. The company is what ends up giving them the lifestyle. How do you handle these enhancements, or do you see these enhancements often, or have you handled it? What goes on? Or do leaders stop the enhancements before it gets to you? How do you see this working out?
You know, I actually have not experienced that big of a problem, and I think it has to do with how fluid a system do you have for hearing the negative feedback. The enhancements, I think, comes from people who aren't being heard. You know, so, you know, when you and I were kids, you know, if we said, hey, you know, can we have this, and nobody paid any attention to us, what'd we do? We just screamed a little louder, you know, and we just kept screaming a little louder until finally we got somebody's attention. So as adults, we know that, you know, just talking louder doesn't always get the trick done, so we learn to embellish. So I think that might be a symptom of an organization where people aren't feeling heard. You know, you should be able to just email a simple feedback. Hey, I'm just thinking of some examples. You know, we moved our company from Spokane, Washington to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, 15 miles away, but all of a sudden, the mail going out of Coeur d'Alene took 3 days longer to get to the East Coast. So all of a sudden, bonus checks, you know. But, you know, all we've got some emails. Hey, my check usually comes on the 19th, and now it's the 23rd, and I still don't have it. We get it. You know, we got it. I think negative feedback can be just given simply if it's heard. And if it's not heard, people will do whatever they need to do to be heard. Embellish. Scream, bang on stuff, threaten.
All that ugly stuff you see. As a leader, you're listening to this feedback. How do you acknowledge feedback? What do you say? Give me some specifics so that, I mean, obviously the worst thing, or seems to me, if I get feedback and I don't even get a reply, then I don't even know the feedback's been received or on a conference call. How do you acknowledge feedback?
I think the simplest way is just to tell people I hear you, mm-hmm. or I get it, I understand completely, I'll research it, I'll look into it, I'll get the facts, I'll find out what we can find out from our end and give you a response. Just that. Sometimes I'll ask more questions, you know, more defining questions. Well, you know, somebody says, well, you know, whatever. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a complaint. Not that I don't have any. I got lots of them, but they're not coming to mind. But, you know, just some exploratory questions about the complaint, you know, flush it out, get some more information. And you want to be careful that those aren't challenging questions. Because people can sometimes hear it as, well, you know, you're trying to invalidate my complaint. Mm-hmm. Just educational questions. So you're very clear about the context for the complaint. If you ask questions like that, people get it that you're listening, you're paying attention. And if you tell people, you know, we're going to look into it, we're going to run some reports, we're going to do whatever, and we'll get back to you within a certain time frame, or this is the person that will get back to you within a certain time frame, and we'll let you know what we find out. And that's really important to people. People want to hear that you got the feedback. They want to hear what you're going to do about not necessarily solving the problem, because just because they give you negative feedback doesn't mean that you're going to change something.
Right.
You're going to look into it, you know, like, well, you know, and the last thing people want to hear is, well, you know, you're the only person I've heard this from. Well, maybe they are the only person you've heard it from, so you're going to go find out, you know, you're going to ask some other people, hey, I just heard this. Has anybody else heard this?
Right.
Are we getting this feedback from anybody else? So do your homework, and then let people know, here's how we're going to respond. We're going to look into it. And you know, I find when you do that and you get back with people and you say, you know what, we've looked into this, and it's unfortunate you had that situation, that problem, that perspective, and here's what we've learned, and we're not going to do anything about it because here's what we've learned.
Right.
That you works.
Don't always have to change everything. Talk a little bit about the relationship between a leader and their sponsor. Is a leader dependent on their sponsor? Are they 100% independent of their sponsor? Do they succeed in spite of their sponsor? How does a leader view their sponsor or their line of sponsorship? Where does that play into their success?
Well, I think from the leader standpoint, okay, I'm a leader and I've got a sponsor. Well, I think one of the things that defines leadership in network marketing is you're going to succeed anyway. Now, that doesn't necessarily assume your sponsor is not a contribution, but you're going to succeed whether your sponsor or your upline is a contribution. And there's lots of examples of people that, you know, they didn't even like their sponsor, or their sponsor, you know, wasn't even involved in the business. You know, our most successful distributor has been an active distributor for almost 20 years in our company, and that person's sponsor quit within months of sponsoring him. You know, so what would happen to our whole company if this guy, his name is Roland Fox, had decided, well, my sponsor quit, so, you know, I guess I'll quit, or I guess I don't have a chance. You know, we wouldn't even have a company. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that defines a leader is they do it anyway. So you don't like your sponsor? You do it anyway. You know, some people say, well, I don't like my sponsor, so I'm not going to succeed because I don't want them to earn any money. Congratulations. You just checked yourself right out of the game. You know, out of resentment, revenge. You know, those are not leadership interpretations or perspectives. So your sponsor is going to make you some money. Obviously, they introduced you to the business, so they wouldn't be your sponsor. So thank them with making them a bunch of money and make yourself a bunch more. Whether your upline is supportive, whether you like them, whether you respect them, whether they're functional, whether they're active, certainly the more they are, the more you want to, as a leader, create partnerships with them. And you may have people in your upline who they're leaders in some ways that you're not, so that's where you want to follow. You know, maybe they're really strong in the internet game and you're not, so follow them. Or maybe they're really strong at building relationships and you're not, follow them. Maybe they're strong at product knowledge and you're not, so that's where you can follow them. Just take full advantage where they have something to offer, and regardless of what they have to offer, Take responsibility for your own success. Be the source from you on down, and do it anyway.
Once you start developing a group of leaders, sometimes it feels like you're in the business of ego management. And it comes naturally in networking, because I believe networking attracts leaders who want to be independent, who want to have their own identity, maybe their own group. What do you do when you start to see, you know, leaders that might not even want to work together, or they need to have more of the time on the conference calls? There's a management situation here. How do you handle that?
Well, delicately and with some political adeptness and with sensitivity and with some intuition and making a lot of mistakes, if you have somebody in your organization that's really independent, that's hard-headed, that sees themselves as the leader of their organization, wants to do their own thing, I think the most productive thing you can do is be the wind beneath their wings, champion them, celebrate them, give them their independence, and as the eagles do, kick them out of the nest, mm-hmm. and let them fly. And if they don't, they can always come home, unlike the eagle who's going to not have a good landing. You're going to have a lot of people that want to stick with you because you're the most powerful leader in the group. And if you've really got, you know, the ultimate structure, business model of network marketing is sponsor, you know, depending on your comp plan, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 people who don't need you, don't want you, have their own vision, their own empire to build, and they go out and build it. Mm-hmm. That's the ultimate. Now, you may not feel like you're such a great contribution that you got to make it all happen, and it was, you know, it wasn't all up to you, but you've got two things that network marketing offers that's extraordinary. You've got financial freedom, and you've got time freedom. So you've got a huge organization, and you don't have to do anything to keep it going.
As a friend of mine once shared, he said, ultimately what would be the best is you build an organization so big and hardly any of them know who you are.
Sure.
And so is the goal then as a leader to develop leaders so that at some point they are independent eagles and maybe you see them once a year on a cruise or at the national convention and that's it?
Well, that would be in your best interest in terms of security. And that might not be what everybody wants. You know, a lot of people are in this game and choose the leadership path because they want to contribute. They want to partner. They want to be part of a process. And you can do that. I mean, I think it's extraordinary. If you're going along sponsoring people, maybe in your career you sponsor, you know, 20 or 30 people that are actively pursuing the business. You would be extremely fortunate to have even one of them take off and be completely independent of you. I don't think you'll ever, as long as you keep sponsoring, you'll never lack for people that you can be a contribution to, where you can actually be the leader. Because there aren't that many people who are going to take a stand, be that independent, that powerful of a leader, to separate themselves from you and go build their own empire. And it would be extraordinary for you to have, for all of us to have, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 of those. And then we can have the 30 or 40 who aren't that strong that we can be a contribution to if you want to. You can have both. Mm-hmm.